Australia has entered a dramatic new phase in the fight against the COVID-19 virus with the nationwide closure of non-essential services from today. From midday, pubs and cinemas, swimming pools and gyms, cafes and restaurants will put up the shutters for possibly the next 6 months. Cafes and restaurants still able to deliver takeaways. And to further entrench social distancing, some state borders have closed, while the Prime Minister is foreshadowing far more draconian measures, likely to start with some localised lockdowns. Several premiers and chief ministers will hold press conferences this morning to clarify shutdowns in their states and territories, and we will bring you those details as they are announced. On top of that, the federal government has unleashed $66 billion in new emergency spending to try and cushion the blow for low-income earners and small business and the untold number of people who will be laid off in the recession ahead. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, joins us now. Treasurer, welcome back to Breakfast.
Nice to be with you, Fran.
Non-essential services shut from midday, state borders are closing, and in the ACT and Victoria, schools will close tomorrow. You're basically shutting down the economy to try and shut down this virus. Is that the equation we all have to accept?
Well, it's a false choice between the economy and the health of Australians. You can't have a strong economy without a healthy public. And this is a global pandemic like we've never seen before. And we make no apologies for the strict restrictions that we've put in place. And last night at 9 p.m, the Prime Minister got to the podium to announce the position of the National Cabinet based on medical advice that, as you say, clubs and casinos and cinemas will close from midday today. Restaurants and cafes will move to takeaway only, and we want to reduce the amount of social gathering across the country so that we can actually slow the spread of the coronavirus.
Okay, has the unity of National Cabinet fractured because the Prime Minister, as you say, gave that late night press conference? New South Wales and Victorian premiers and the ACT Chief Minister are giving their own press conference this morning, we presume with further shutdowns. Was the Commonwealth forced into this closure of non-essential services by the two breakaway states?
Well, obviously, the spread of the virus is developing and evolving every day. And what we have seen is an escalation in the number of people who have contracted it here in Australia. And tragically, there's been, you know, 7 deaths. But the National Cabinet is still the principal body where the state premiers and the chief ministers and the prime minister come together, and they came to a united position. So too on schools. Schools will remain open. They'll close, obviously, at the end of the term, and Victoria works to a different timetable on that. But the states have committed to reopening their schools at the end of the term based on the medical advice at that time.
Do you really believe that's going to happen, that after Easter the states will stay open? I mean, I wonder why the Commonwealth isn't listening to the Premier of Victoria, Dan Andrews, who says if we don't take this step, closing schools tomorrow, more Victorians will contract coronavirus, our hospitals will be overwhelmed, and more Victorians will die.
Well, the Prime Minister and Daniel Andrews, and indeed I've had plenty of contact with my counterpart Tim Powell, as well as Daniel Andrews. We've been, in fact, just yesterday on a phone hookup, we've been working very closely together, and Daniel Andrews has been consistent with the government about the importance of keeping schools open, but they are going to close the schools from Tuesday, and that's a reflection of their term ending later in the week.
Okay. If the breakaway states and all states have only guaranteed this decision to keep the schools open until the end of the holidays, see what the health advice is then, is the word from the Prime Minister. What's being done in the meantime, in this 2-3 weeks, to help our state schools, our public schools, prepare for distance learning? Because that's the weak link here, isn't it? Are you investing in that capacity?
Well, of course, those are the discussions that are ongoing.
Are you investing in it? Is the Commonwealth leading this?
Well, as you know, the states and the Commonwealth are working on a whole range of issues, and we also have different responsibilities in different areas. We yesterday announced, as you said in your introduction, a $66 billion package, unprecedented in scale and scope for the country, and brings to a total of $189 billion the measures that we've announced in just the last 10 days to support the Australian economy. That's equivalent to around 10% of GDP, and it's all about enhancing the social safety net to cushion the blow for those Australians who may lose a job or businesses that may close, but also providing encouragement and incentives to businesses to stay open and to keep people employed.
Okay, the price tag now for this virus is up to $189 billion, but the Prime Minister's made it clear there's more to come. We're already at 10% of GDP. Our net debt is relatively low. Are we in a position to borrow more for further stimulus, and how much?
Well, we'll do what it takes to support the economy. That's what we've done to date, and that's what we'll do from here on. As you say, our net debt to GDP going into this crisis was about a quarter of what it is in the United Kingdom or in the United States or other major developed economies. We had delivered the first balanced budget in 11 years. We've got the books back on track, and that's given us the financial firepower, Fran, to actually respond in this crisis like we've never seen before.
You've lifted the debt ceiling from $600 to $850 billion. Does that give us an idea of how much you're prepared to be spend? Could it be as much as $250 billion?
Well, the reality is this: the spread of the virus and the pain caused by this global pandemic will only really stop when we have a vaccine, and that's not going to be
solved. So that's 18 months away.
Well, that's not going to be solved by the politicians or the bankers or the bureaucrats. It's going to be solved by the scientists, the doctors and the researchers, and they're the ones that we're also investing in to find a vaccine as quickly as possible.
All right. In the meantime, there's an enormous number of people without paychecks. The coronavirus supplement you announced yesterday is $550 a fortnight. But anyone who's lost their job, as I understand it, will also be able to register for the job seeker payment. Is that correct? Does that mean every worker who stood down, every casual who's lost their shifts, every self-trader, personal trainers, osteopath, massage therapist, whatever, will all receive $1,100 per fortnight?
If your income has fallen below $1,075 a fortnight, you will get the $550 coronavirus supplement in full.
Yep.
And then on top of that, you have the existing Newstart payment. So what we've effectively done is doubled that safety net. You can also access other benefits like Commonwealth rent assistance and other family tax benefits and the like.
People are trying to work out if it means them. I've had a lot of conversations. We've had a lot of texts coming in. Say a Qantas worker who's been stood down, can they register as a job seeker and get that $550 plus the coronavirus supplement of $550? Is that means tested?
Well, it's not assets tested. That's really important. What we have done is completely waived the assets test, and we've also waived the waiting period. For that Qantas worker that you referred to, they need to exhaust their entitlements, namely their long service leave or other leaves that they may be available to them, and then they will get their $550 in full if they're stood down. That's the point.
And so if they're stood down, they can access their super and all of that. What if you have a partner with an income? Does that affect whether you're eligible for this coronavirus payment?
Well, it's based on the income of the person who is actually seeking this payment, because what we've tried to do is to get the sole trader access to this payment. What we've tried to do is get the casual access to this payment, and we recognise that they may have had their hours reduced, or they've obviously got fewer customers coming through the door. And so if their income falls below $1,075 a fortnight, they will get this coronavirus supplement in full. I also want to point out to your listeners that we've also relaxed the rules about early access to superannuation. Currently, you can access your superannuation in a case of hardship. For example, if you're about to lose your home. What we are now saying is if you have seen your income or your hours work fall by 20% or more from the 1st of January this year, as many people will do, you can get up to $10,000 from your super this financial year and up to $10,000 from your super next financial year. And in both cases, it will be completely tax-free. Currently, in a hardship case, if you remove your superannuation early, you pay around 22% tax.
Okay.
This is a big initiative, and I'd encourage people to use their savings where they can.
The super industry tells us they weren't consulted on this. They want to be consulted and involved to help get this out and get this fast moving, because there's things people should know. I mean, if you let people raid their super now, they will emerge from this crisis at some point worse off in the longer term. That's the fact, isn't it?
Well, Fran, let me give you the facts. The first thing is I have written to all the major super bodies to inform them of this government decision.
Sure, that's not this consultation.
Let me be very clear to you. The amount that Treasury believes that this will put into the economy is around $27 billion. That's less than 1% of the $3 trillion in superannuation. Last year, the superannuation funds had $300 billion in cash. APRA, the prudential regulator, who we did consult with, were very clear that this would not impact in a negative way on the industry as a as a whole. This is a vitally important way for Australians to get access to their money, not my money, not your money, okay. Their money, and that's why we've done it.
Treasurer, we're almost out of time, but is it possible, and are you considering and working on this, the government forced to bail out some of our worst hit companies like airlines or take an equity stake in them, part nationalise them to some degree to ensure they don't go under? The US did that with banks and with the auto companies during the GFC and it worked. Could you be faced with that prospect? Are you considering anything like that?
Well, that's not our focus right now. We did announce more than $700 million as a suite of measures for the aviation industry because, like the hospitality and tourism industry, Fran, they are on the front line. But we'll do what it takes to support the Australian economy, but we're very conscious that we need to get to the other side, that we need to keep people in employment, that we need to keep businesses in business, and don't understate what we've just announced, $189 billion in partnership with the Reserve Bank, in partnership with the regulators. We have announced it. And one other key thing here is that we worked with the banks hand in glove so that they will ensure there are no interest payments for small business on their loans for the next 6 months. That is a game changer. If your listeners are running a small business and they may have mortgaged their home to support their small business, they may have taken out a loan to buy a new vehicle, they may have taken out a loan for a ship out, to a fit out for their shop, they won't pay interest for the next 6 months or a principal payment. That is going to be absolutely critical for them.
Okay, and just finally, a lot of people ringing in and writing in with questions because people are concerned. Can you tell us whether post offices will stay open throughout this?
Well, I will leave that to the relevant minister, but I would assume that there's an element of essential services in a lot of these areas that will be supported through this period. But I can also tell your listeners that we're getting more than 3,000 additional staff into Services Australia to deal with what is going to be an increase in the demand for this support that we're providing to Australians to cushion the blow of the terrible, terrible impact of the coronavirus.
And that's important, isn't it? Because people can access these payments online from now.
Well, we're absolutely waiving the waiting periods.
So from now they can go online?
People can go online and start getting access to the payments and to the information.
All right. Treasurer, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Josh Frydenberg is the Federal Treasurer. It's 12 minutes to 8.